To another episode of the Jonathan Project podcast. I'm here with my co-host Jason, and my name is Colby, and our purpose here is simple. We're trying to help men everywhere navigate the complex times that we live in to have better relationships with those around them. And we take the biblical Jonathan's example of loyalty and faith with his friend and future King David as the inspiration for this podcast. So let's get into today's show. Buddy, it is Jason. What is going on? It's good to see you this morning.
Hey, man, it's good to see you too. It's a beautiful morning here. Just trying to get some coffee going.
Oh, okay.
To be a tune of our technical animal planet selves. That is a, that is a 1950s percolator that I'm making coffee with. Keeping an eye on it and making sure, one, I've done it right, although it is just put coffee grounds in water, but make sure it doesn't boil over.
It's fitting that you chose to find the most difficult way to make coffee.
Yeah, I think it tastes better than the Keurig or the little, you know, automated devices. So.
Or let's go with the other option. You could just be bored and you like pain.
I could be bored. That's right. So, you know, last time we talked about the Olympics.
Yeah.
I did some looking up. When I watched the Olympic trials, it's phenomenal.
It is, isn't it?
I love it. It's track and field. That's one of my favorite things.
Absolutely.
And there was a study about, they wanted to know how fast Usain Bolt was. And the author made a statement that mankind has not changed that much. Now, we do get bigger, stronger, and faster, you know, but not as much as you think.
Sure.
The playing field has changed. And he compared the biomechanics and the playing field of when Jesse Owens ran versus Usain Bolt. And he said, think about this. Usain Bolt runs on a track that is made for him to go faster. He runs on the best shoes whatsoever. And then you look at when Jesse Owens did it, they ran on cindered ash that absorbed the energy as well as, you know, he run on those old cleats, you know?
Yeah.
And they come to find out, the guy made the statement that he only outrun him by like maybe less than a stride. So, incredible. I think that is boiling. So keep talking. Let me get that.
I love it. Audience, like Jason is going to test my editing skills here because he has stepped away. I'm sitting here yapping to you as I'm looking at an empty screen as Jason's chasing his 1930s coffee experiment.
Yeah,
he's back. So now I can stop talking about it.
All right.
So one last funny thing to share with the audience. So last week I told everybody I had to go to work in a big city. I had to go to Houston for the week, which I know a lot of the folks that follow me on my blog, I didn't blog to you. So I apologize for all those that are listening, but it was a drama-filled week. And the drama started when I got to the airport, Jason. So for those that don't know, when you're on active duty, you're automatically enrolled in TSA PreCheck because you've already gone through all the security clearances, all this stuff. So you're automatically enrolled. Well, this was my first time flying since I retired back in March. And so I go bebopping up, never checked my boarding pass, had all the privilege of being TSA PreCheck early in the morning, 5 a.m, going to the airport. And I go straight to the PreCheck line. I get to the front. Now there's a row of people behind me, and the other line has exploded with people by this point. And so I get there, and the guy, TSA agent, looks at me and says, hey, your number is expired. And I'm like, what do you mean? No, there's no way. I finally look at my boarding pass, and I'm humbled, as it says nothing about being pre-checked. And he tells me, you're in the wrong line, you're in the wrong place. Oh, everyone's looking at me, it's early in the morning, and then I have to do this walk of shame over to the regular line, and I get escorted to the front. I'm in the back. And oh, by the way, my boss is waiting for me on the other side of security. So that's how I started off the week. But
that's classic. If you ever feel like you're in charge, go to the airport and check out TSA lines. You're not in charge.
Well, I tell you, I forgot. Like, they almost want you naked when you go through that regular line. So that's an experience.
It is.
But anyways, enough on our shenanigans. Let's do a recap of what we talked about last week. before we get into today's show.
Yeah, we talked a lot about the, you know, being, you know, when you got toxic friends and how to help them out. We talked a lot about the gratitude journal. One incredible study about what are you thankful for, and just writing down those five things every day that you're thankful for, and you'll begin to notice that those things become more, you actually, they grow to be more simple. They grow to be more specific in your life. And, you know, how that is, that requires constant minding. You know, you have to constantly do that for it to be effective. And it increases well-being, but it's just like the Bible says. And the Bible says, hey, we're going to give thanks for things. The Bible talks a lot about controlling your emotions. And those little nuggets teach us how. So I thought that was good. I love our next topic as we are getting ready to dovetail into that. Crazy Town, you noted it. Tell us what that means.
Crazy Town. So it's something that me and you in our conversations, we've talked about. And for the folks that are around our age, older, a little bit generation, played outside quite a bit in the 80s and 90s, you'll remember like the old TV shows, it was always... A lot of times there was an opposite world where the bad guys live. The rules are a little bit different, right, than where we live. Well, when we talked about Crazy Town so often, it is being this place where emotions rule. It's raw, it's in the moment, and it is not where we're called to live as men, especially, but as any believer. And it's walking by what you see versus walking by faith. And when you get to Crazy Town and you're caught up in those emotions and everything, I think bad things happen, right? And you lose the focus of where you need to be. And we often joke and talk about how often me and Jason get dragged to Crazy Town. And one of our first topics, we're going to talk about this in two parts, but in part one, we're going to talk about parenting and how all of the people are probably out there going like, yeah, it's the aha moment. As a parent, you get taken to Crazy Town quite often, but that's not where you need to be. And we're going to talk through that. So Jason, tell us about, you know, parenting. And as a man, and what's our responsibilities, and let's get into it.
Well, you know, I think that's important because it's, you know, when you're, and that's been quite a center point for our, a lot of our conversations is how do we as Christian men navigate being a Christian father during, when you have so much influence on the rest of your, on the rest of your family, right? Think about it. And I was thinking about this the other day, my grandfather was alive. We had three TV stations, and it was at best three if I got out and moved the antenna, right?
Yeah.
But you can only move it so far, and then you'd get the yelling of, hey, moved it too far, and by then you've gone way too far. So really, you probably had about two stations. But it was what influenced the family, what was coming through the airwaves to influence the family. It's interesting. I was also talking to my son the other day, and I go, hey, there are certain books you need to read. These are books that influence a society. Mm-hmm. You know, those are important. People took time out, took several days or weeks to read a book, and it changed the way society looked at it. The number one, of course, is the Bible. And if you can read the Bible in a couple of weeks, you're way better off than I am. But, and then you look at it today and how many things influence your kids. Everything from the TV, we're electronic saturation.
Yes, sir.
Think about how much is out there. How many people are trying to vie for your time so that they can make money through advertising, things like that. But your kids, how many things are influencing them? Look at their, you've got cell phones, you've got tablets, and, you know, you've got Apple, you got watches now. That talk like Dick Tracy. It's interesting. You know, I love this. I had one time, one of my in-laws looked at me and said, I don't know why we have watches anymore. We have phones. And so they pretty much were doing away with wristwatches, I always have. Yeah, but now they brought the watches back.
Yep.
For information. So, and there's a, go ahead.
No. I was just going to say, I love your point that we're being influenced. Our families are being influenced. And that is something we have to be really mindful of. So, no, yeah, go ahead and close your thought. No, I just thought that was really good that yes, that influence is critical.
No, it's, and as a parent, as a Christian parent, you know, something's influencing your family. It's always a push. You know, in Ephesians, it talks about struggling you know, we wrestle not. And as a young wrestler, it was, if you weren't participating in that match, it ended pretty quickly. So as a dad or as a Christian friend or single parent, if you're not participating in that struggling match, it's going to end real quick. And, you know, other things are going to influence your family. Other things are going to steer the ship, and that's how you wind up in crazy town.
Yeah, no, I love that. Well said. And, you know, I think about from the scripture in Ezekiel 22, it says, I searched for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand in the gap before me so that the land would not be destroyed, but I found no one. And that is what is going on, quite frankly, when as men, we allow ourselves to, again, be ruled by emotions, be ruled, really, Crazy Town is really a suburb of the rest of the world in that influence versus being the man, he said, who stood up and built the wall, right? And to stand in the gap and say, hey, this is what's right. You're called, number one, as a man to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the right next thing that you're supposed to do is to be a leader, a protector of your family and guiding them on this path. You know, I found it interesting, Jason, that I did some research, you know, ahead of this. And, you know, the percentage of boys living apart from their biological father has almost doubled since 1960. About 17% in 1960 to 32% today. Over approximately 80% of single parent homes are led by single mothers, meaning that over 25% of our youth, girls and boys, are out there growing up without a father in their home. And so I thought about, you know, thinking about your example, like you say, you're moving the antenna to get the right signal. The number one signal that we should be talking about in our home as men is about the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you're messed up and broken, you're going to lead a house that's messed up and broken, which is going to then lead to future homes being messed up and broken, which are going to contribute to society around us. So all this gnashing and wailing of the teeth and worried about what's going on, and let me kind of poke the bear early and often here, worried about what's going on in D.C. and at the White House, you should be worried about what's going on at your house and your address, because we'll guide the country more than anything that's happening at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Over to you, Jason.
Well, no, you're right, because you don't have time to think about a 1,000-meter target or a 500-meter target when the silhouette is in the little foxhole with you slapping you in the face. You've got to take care of that first. I thought about this. You know, I was doing some research on influence, and I looked up. I'd done a lot of reading when I was in grad school about it, but a lot of parents feel like when kids hit those teenage years, well, they're completely different. And they are different. Their cognitive infrastructure is changing. Their worldview is being crafted because they now see the world in a different way. If you have deep problems with your children, then I need you to think to yourself and apologize because you gave them 50% of their genetic makeup, right? I have to remember that when I'm doing this. But it also goes to that gratitude piece. You know, when we talk about it, there was one study, and I loved it. But basically, it was a 2023 study, and they did this gratitude study about kids that were locked down during COVID. And they found that these teenagers, they're not kids, they're teenagers, were less irritable, easier to get along with, and they saw things differently when they began to be very thankful for things. But in the same token, hey, parents need some grace when it goes to this. I see a lot of Crazy Town parents. They're card-carrying members who just have this weird expectation that their kids are always going to be perfect and that they go, well, this is the way my generation did it. This right here, I got an extreme news flash. Every generation thinks they were perfect.
Yeah.
And they always think the generation after them is less than perfect.
Yeah.
So, Colby, I collect old physical training manuals.
Yeah.
And I have one from World War I. I have one of the original training circulars from 42. And of course the famous FM from 46.
Yeah.
And in all of those, it carries a very similar statement that says the generation has become soft and weak due to machines. And I'm like, remember my grandfather? Soft and weak was not how I would characterize him, right?
Yeah.
But every generation thinks the one coming up behind them is not going to steer the ship correctly. They don't. And you know what? That's where us as parents, and, you know, as Christians, we have to help guide them. Hey, look, this is, we're going to be thankful today. I'm going to help you craft your worldview so that when you see these problems, you kind of understand it. There was a meme. I loved it. It said, you know, for the millennials who hate the boomers and the boomers who hate the millennials, don't forget there was a generation in the middle of you that hates both of you, and it's the Gen X. And I'm like, you know, but that's part of it. As we talk about the parameters of the zip code of Crazy Town, I think as parents or as Christians, we absolutely have to steer our family and our friends away from it.
No, I agree with you 100%. And, you know, I thought about something you said is that, you know, it is tough as a father who's trying to live for the identity that I have taken on and chose to claim, which is Jesus. Jesus is a king, and kings have absolute rule. And there's no, hey, I get to vote and get to pick and choose the laws of the kingdom. And one of those laws of the kingdom is I need to lead my family. And, you know, I think about how, like you mentioned, like the previous generations, you know, they look at like how we're raising our kids and what's going on and these different things, and that everything is messed up. Well, you know, it's more of understanding like there's always going to be that perception, but there is a constant to all of it. And it is that Jesus Christ is the living truth, and his principles on parenting. And for men to be present and engaged is critical. You know, I love the story, and to tie in our biblical kind of concept for this episode is the parable of the prodigal son in the Bible, found in Luke 15, for all those out there. You know, and it's a famous story that teaches us valuable lessons about fatherhood, you know, and being a good, godly Christian father. You get unconditional love, right? Crazy Town wants you to have that cold, hard justice. It wants you to have these conditional things. Well, my child is now an addict, or my child now has this going on, and you give up. Well, you see one in the ultimate example of God the Father and how he loved us. Even though we were sinners, he still loved us. He didn't give up. There's this unconditional love in the prodigal son story. Runs away, takes the money, but the father runs to him and embraces and kisses him. Then you see patience. You know, you're going to need that navigating in these times, especially where there's so many influences, there's so many signals, going back to how you talked about your grandfather and the antenna. There's so many signals coming into our children that we need to make sure that we have some patience, because his son in the story, the prodigal son, was gone, you know, and he patiently was waiting. He had to have been waiting for his son and hoping that one day he would see him going back down that road. Compassion, you know. He didn't first lay into the kid and say, hey, you're all jacked up and wrong. You need to be able to celebrate when your child is doing something right, especially if it's a difficult child, and build and encourage them, right? That's one of the things with the father, forgiveness. He forgives his son immediately, puts a ring on him, kisses him. Hey, put the best robe, go get some food. We're going to celebrate that this child is home, right? And we have to forgive our parents, right? Kind of to your point about how the Gen X are kind of looking at both and like, hey, like all of you are jacked up. But we need to do the same. A lot of those childhood traumas, you got to let it go or get some help to let it go. I know it's not that easy, and I don't want to whitewash it. But the point is if you don't heal, you're going to continue to hurt. And then finally, you know, the humility is what you can take out of the prodigal son story. The father didn't ask for him to bow down and to recognize his authority. He was content to serve his child. And he even had to chastise his other son, who didn't have that kind of heart and didn't want to give forgiveness. And so when we look at that story, and that's a brief kind of run through and some of the things that I pulled out of it, but it's a good example for us of why you cannot run off of raw emotion. You cannot live by what you just see. You have to live by faith and by this higher calling of what the kingdom and the kingdom's laws apply to us as men. And the final, the best point is, and Jason, I'll give it over to you because I know you do this and you're a great example of a man that does this, is around the table. When you look at the Middle Eastern culture, when you look at ancient Hebrew culture, the culture that Jesus was coming up, the table was a central focus for the man. It was where he set the parameters, where he led. And the reason why the Bible gives us this, they had a celebration. They had food. They had communion. They came back and they got everything straight at the table. As a father, you have to make time in your home. I'm not saying that you have to be at the table every night. I get that. In the modern world, it doesn't happen. But you do need to make a time where you're having time with your family and you're saying, hey, this is the values of this house. As Joseph said, as for me and my family, we're going to serve the Lord. And you have to lay that out. So, Jason, what do you think about that?
You know, you hit a good point. Your kids, your family is going to navigate some uncharted waters with the influences that go on. We even have a job cast that's called influencer now. I remember the first time I heard that, I was like, influencer? What are you influencing? But it's just, that's the term, right? Mm-hmm. I thought about this and you know, there was this great study that said this guy studied female friendships as young girls were growing up in their early teen years. And he said, look, three girls have a hard time being friends. If girl one and two are together, three believes about 80% of the time that she's being talked about and worries about it. When girl one and three are together, girl two feels like, well, I'm being left out and excluded. And she has this anxiety about it, right? There's a new movie that also picks it up. But as a parent, you're absolutely right. You've got to weigh in. You've got to help navigate those waters. And you have a great influence. You just don't realize it. You've got to have a common ground. You know, you talked about eating at the table and things like that. And spending time together, you have to have a common ground to speak from. Like if my kids wanted to talk to me about the newest iPhone update or whatever, I'm completely lost. But the Bible is a common ground. The Bible speaks a lot about agriculture, things that persisted throughout time. I think as parents, you've got to engage that, you know? I also like the part about the prodigal son, where he chastises his older or his other son. He goes, look, you had the best part. Yeah. The best part wasn't the money. The best part was the relationship. And and I think that's really important. You can't be this free range parent. And we've talked about this, right? You got to lead with the Bible and not with TikTok or whatever social media platform. I need, you know, my likes or this, that, and the other. If your plan is to retreat to the affirmation of social media, then I'm going to go ahead and tell you you're losing, and you're probably going to get the nursing home you deserve.
You're right, Jason. I love it. You're right.
I see this. People go, well, we're a motivation generation. I think it's history, you know, history will tell. This is a motivation time where everybody needs their little memes. So, you know, when I think about what motivation is, I think motivation is what most fifth graders need to run around the gym floor. I think as an adult, like you said, the Bible tells us to be in charge of our emotions. I think your motivation is to look at your child and then get up and go to work and, you know, go, hey, that's my responsibility. This is what I'm defending.
Yep.
And I'm going to lead them in the right direction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, one other thing I'll pull away from that for the dads out there listening, right? Like, oh, it's easy for you two guys to say, you're sold out, you're on fire, you're the kingdom man that you talk about all the time on the show. But for me, hey, I didn't have that example. I've struggled. Well, let me take you back to the prodigal son story one more time, because what you see there is a father who obviously was doing a lot of things right. In that narrative that Jesus was telling about this father, who is really a picture of his relationship of God the Father with us as people. But what you see is, even if you're doing the right thing, even if you're leading your children, even if you're leading your family, you're being that kingdom man, things can go wrong. Those children will have a chance and an opportunity to be swayed by what's going around them, by friends. And sometimes, unfortunately, as painful as, even in a Christian household, things can get off the rail. But here's the hope that's found in that story and other places in the Bible, that if you have put the conditions into that child and you're continuously praying over them, you're bringing them before the Lord, that child who might be in the swine pit about to like eat some slop, proverbially or whatever is going on in their life, you have to have that faith. Again, this is why you can't live in emotions and crazy town and give up. You have to continuously bring them before the Lord, who loves them infinitely more than you can. And one day you'll see them running down that road back to your life. You know, it talks about in Malachi where the hearts of the father will be turned to the children, right? And the children back to the parents. That's what you want. But that comes by being invested, being engaged, and being active throughout their childhood, not just when things are sunshiny and conditional and rosy, because children are children, people are people. And, you know, that's a takeaway I would say for guys out there, like, hey, man, like, well, just keep showing up, keep being in their lives, and let the Lord work on their heart.
Now, what you had to say is super important about that. What they found is that when it comes to adolescent smoking, right? When I was in Europe, I did that layover there in Europe for a little bit. Everybody smokes. Mm-hmm. That is the smokingest place on the planet. But you come here and everybody vapes and this, that, and the other. And it, you know, I was reading a study. It said that the influence on peers from peers and parents were both significant on whether or not your kids picked up the habit. And I thought that was really good, because when you say something like, hey, it shows significance, that means that you have a higher than 95% chance of influenced that outcome.
Yeah.
So you have a fight as a parent. I love the story of the flood. You know, it's one you can get your kids behind when they're real young, because it talks a lot about animals and so forth. And it's a good story. And God has a phenomenal amount of examples in there. When you do the math, God told Noah to start building the ark before his kids were born. He says, you build the ark, the kids are going to get on, your family's going to be safe. Well, he starts building it, right? And then all of a sudden, when it's time to get on, I love it. In Genesis 7:7, it's very plain when it says, and Noah went in, and his sons, his wife, and his sons' wives with him onto the ark. The Bible talks about things in a very specific order. We talked about order and how that's important in the Bible and in our lives. But it's Noah went in first. Be the example. It's not just what they see you do, but it's also what you do when they're not looking. If you don't think your kids will call you out as being a hypocrite, you have never been around kids.
And man, you said a whole sermon right there. I think as any man or anyone listening under our voice, we all remember the moment when you saw your parents for being people. And I think what you mean, like their flaws, their kind of misguided steps, it all, that moment when it all became clear. But you're right. I also was able to fall back on example. And Noah itself is that short little story there. There's a lot of power in that. But I love that. Yeah, I love what you said.
It is. And, you know, you think about it. I love this. I kind of went down that rabbit hole of parent-teenager relationships. You know, that determines your academic performance. So if you're a parent and you're upset your kids aren't performing well, please understand a venue of influence is your relationship. It really is. And if you are not helping your kid in school right now, you're leaving them up to Common Core math. That's what I'll tell you.
And that is some crazy town math. That was created by the mayor of crazy town, I'm convinced.
You know, that was literally one of our studies, and it come to find out that was never tested. Like we're going to learn this way, was never tested. I'm like, well, of course. I've never added 2 + 2 to get cats.
I love it. So, Jason, as we wind it down, like, what would you want to tell men? Because you're a little bit ahead of the game in some ways with your children.
Yeah, they're older.
Yeah, a little bit. But what's some nuggets to leave with them, like, on just, you know, good parenting, right?
I guess two things. You know, one, you're going to fight from the ground you've already won when they're little. So if you got little kids, you better start earning some time. And number two is, you know, absolutely, at my house, I have planted a garden every year, whether or not it produces anything or not, simply because I need something that is a common form to talk to. And the Bible speaks so much about planting seeds and so forth.
Yeah.
And it's not that I'm advocating gardening. Let's be very clear. I'm not. What I'm advocating is that you have a, that it, to me, it provides a physical representation of what the Bible speaks about. When yeah. God says you plant these seeds, my kids could look back and go, yeah, I remember planting these. Some of them worked, some of them didn't work, you know, and so forth. So yeah. Get involved. Like, get ready for that wrestling match and make it happen, Captain.
I love it. I love it. That's good. That's a good way to put a bow on this. So I want to tie back as we go into the free flow here. And I love our conversations. We always have these interesting things. And I wanted to share some one that we talked about kind of fits in here and how I was all jacked up at the airport. But being in the right place in order, that is such a big thing in the Bible. And it's such a big thing, even in parenting, you have to set conditions for order. So Jason and I have shared some our interesting takes on the Bible. We're both people who love diving into the Bible. I know for me, it's like going to the movies as the Holy Spirit kind of guides me through things. And one of the things, and it's my military background and past, but orientation. It has to be some kind of orientation.
I agree.
There has to be a reception center in heaven, because I can't see you bebopping around and going to the wrong TSA line in heaven. Like, it's not how it's going to work. But what do you think about, like,
okay, we're going to sit down. We're going to, hey, this is where the tree of life is. This is where this is. I think you got to have some. I don't think it's free ranging. I think you got to have it.
Free range.
I got a lot of questions. I'm not going to lie to you. I have a lot of questions. You may not want to sit next to me at the initial one.
I do. I hope I get to sit next to you in orange, because I'm like you. I love what you are. Again, that's one of our funny things we say. I have a lot of questions. I do. It's just so much that pops into my mind. But we have a whole eternity to enjoy that. But orientation is like that.
It
goes
that
through my mind sometimes.
Yeah, no, I brought that up once to my family. I'm like, I believe there will be an orientation day. And of course, I get that quizzical look like, what? Oh, everything's in an order.
That's right.
I think that's it. Not like OCD type order, but, you know, everything's in an order.
No, I mean, it has to be. You know, it's not going to be a basic training experience, but it's going to be.
Let's hope not.
Yeah, let's hope it doesn't go. If you get to heaven, you see little yellow footprints, it's going to be bad.
Yeah, there's a big old hill out there full of sand where yours truly has run all the grass off of it. It looks a lot like that magic place in Georgia. Change the names. I can't ever keep that straight in my head.
You know what? I can use the old names. Again, it's Fort Bragg. It's Fort Hood. It's
Fort Benning.
Fort Benning. You know, because those are seared into my brain housing group. So,
yeah,
it always is going to be what it is for anyone that might get triggered by that. I'm sorry, but.
Yeah, and just bear with me. I mean, I'm an old person, so.
there you go. Well, brother, that is another episode of the Jonathan Project. I hope you enjoy that for all those out there listening. Next week, we're going to do part two of Crazy Town. We're going to talk about marriage. So you want to most definitely join us as we talk about our marriages. Both of us have been married over a couple decades now, so combined here. And so we're going to share our experiences with you. But if you can follow us and find us at all your favorite downloading, streaming, podcast kind of places, Apple, Spotify, iHeart, you name it, you can find us there. Episodes come out every Thursday morning. And you can also reach us at thejonathanprojectpodcast@gmail.com. Again, jonathanprojectpodcast@gmail.com. Please send us comments, feedback, encouragement. Let us know what you're thinking. If you want certain episodes, we're more than willing to kind of tee those up. Jason, anything else on your heart?
No, really do appreciate the conversation. I hope it inspires and helps strengthen people as we kind of move through the week. And absolutely look forward to talking about Crazy Town when it comes to marriage. I'm sure that will get neither one of us in trouble as we press forward.
All right, folks. Well, thank you, and we'll see you again next week. Jason, talk to you later.
See you, buddy. We'll be right back.
Bye.